You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Yes, we are back here on Right Side Radio. Third hour here of Right Side Radio today. A solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, Phil Williams is not here. I'm filling in for him. It doesn't mean it's going to change. It's still going to be solid conservative and just plain right. Just hosted by Alabama's most listened to fill-in host. I'm always filling in for people across the state, and it's an honor, it's a privilege to get to fill in for Phil Williams today. If you want to find out more about me, you can at Yaffe, Y-A-F-F-E-E, like the Yaffe Facebook page. By the way, the thing I was trying to think of before the break at the top of the hour, it's called the Certificate of Needs Board. That's another. So we have something in our state government that sells alcohol. We have basically government-run alcohol liquor stores. No, that should go in a conservative state. The other thing, the Certificate of Needs Board, where you get these approvals for how many hospital beds like certain hospitals can have and so forth. It's, I've said it before, I'll say it again. How Stalin does that sound? I mean, it sounds like something Stalin would call a government agency. The Certificate of Needs Board. That was the other thing I was trying to think of. By the way, there is breaking news now. We have a lot more to get to in this last hour. We're going to try to get to it all. But there's breaking news dealing with the Twitter files. Ooh. Now, you all know the latest on this so far. Before this, that Matt Taibbi, journalist, posted on Twitter, released a bunch of internal files, emails, dealings with why Twitter censored the Hunter Biden laptop story before the 2020 election. This is being revealed by Elon Musk through Matt Taibbi on, and I have no idea. I always forget. I've heard the last name pronounced many different ways, but it's T-A-I-B-B-I. Is it Taibbi? TB? I can't remember. Anyway, he put out the Twitter files. Well, he's just tweeted out the Twitter files supplemental. So I'm going to read some of it. This is breaking within the last half an hour. He said, first, thread Twitter files supplemental. He said, on Friday, the first installment of the Twitter files was published here. We expected to publish more over the weekend. Many wondered why there was a delay. Now, obviously, this what he says here is talking about Twitter. I'm reading this off his Twitter because it makes sense for Elon Musk to do this on Twitter since he owns Twitter. He says, we can now tell you part of the reason why there was a delay. On Tuesday, Twitter Deputy General Counsel and former FBI General Counsel Jim Baker was fired. Among the reasons, vetting the first batch of Twitter files without knowledge of new management. Well, why is this important? If you know the person Jim Baker, you're going to understand why it's important. But he explains, the process of producing the Twitter files involved delivery to two journalists, Barry Weiss and me, via a lawyer close to new management. However, after the initial batch, things became complicated. Over the weekend, while we both dealt with obstacles to new searches, it was Barry Weiss who discovered that the person in charge of releasing the files was someone named Jim. When she called to ask Jim's last name, the answer came back, Jim Baker. My jaw hit the floor, says Weiss. The first batch of files both reporters received was marked Spectra Baker emails. Baker is a controversial figure. He has been something of a zealot in FBI controversies dating back to 2016, from the Steele dossier to the Alpha server mess. He resigned in 2018 after an investigation into leaks to the press. The news that Baker was reviewing the Twitter files surprised everyone involved, to say the least. New Twitter chief Elon Musk acted quickly to exit Baker Tuesday. Reporters resumed searches through Twitter files material, a lot of it today. The next installment of the Twitter files will appear. Stay tuned. So, and someone else on Twitter responded to this and put it exactly how I would put it. Sean Davis said, I am shocked to learn that the FBI lawyer who signed off on an illegal FISA warrant containing fabricated evidence meant to deceive the federal courts was also involved in a corrupt scheme to hide evidence of the FBI's role in censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story. So, long story short, this deputy attorney is out of Twitter. This guy has connections to a lot of the nefarious stuff the FBI did, especially dealing with 2016, Russia collusion, all that stuff. And he's gone, and that means probably, most likely, we're going to find out a lot of new information. We're going to find out some new juicy stuff behind why they censored the Hunter Biden laptop story in Twitter. This is the latest on that. We're going to find out more, and I have a feeling it's going to be very, very interesting. We have not seen the last of this, that as much of a bombshell the original Twitter's files were, I think we're going to... we're going to be in for something. It's going to be quite something. And all of these media types that are mad at Elon Musk, think about why they're mad. They're mad because of transparency. All Elon Musk is doing here is being transparent about what the company was doing and what the company is doing. It's really the main difference. Yeah, he's allowing more free speech on, which, of course, they don't want free speech. Competition of ideas. How could you have that? They'll portray it as hate. But beyond that, he's lifting the veil about what was going on in the company, and they're mad about it. You would think real journalists, real reporters would want more transparency out of something like this. Even if you disagree with Elon Musk and what he's doing, at least he's being open and honest and transparent about every step he's taking. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that what we want? But no, the media, at least mainstream legacy media, they seem to be more on the side of their political bias, more on the side of what could help Democrats, what could help Biden, what could help leftism, wokeism, whatever, than they are about actually wanting to get to the truth, to get to the facts and report to the facts. And what better way to do that than the CEO of Twitter himself being transparent, completely transparent about the facts? And they're upset about it. Now, Elon Musk actually recently commented on this. Boomer, if you could you go ahead and play the Elon Musk cut I sent you, because he did say something about this.
Twitter was acting like an arm of the Democratic National Committee. It was absurd.
I think there will be more smoking guns, because the obvious next question is, well, what happened after the election?
So Elon Musk there says there will be more smoking guns. I think after this revelation that Jim Baker, a corrupt lawyer, was involved in releasing the initial batch of the Twitter files, that he's gone, that's going to allow much more information to be shared to the world. And it's going to be very, very interesting. Now, the White House responded to Elon Musk, the latest of what's going on here. Kind of a weird, interesting response, to say the least. Going to play the Karine Jean-Pierre cut that I sent you, Boomer.
Twitter was so haphazardly pushed this distraction. That is a full of old news, if you think about it. At the same time, Twitter is facing very real and very serious questions about the rising volume of anger, hate, and anti-Semitism on their platform, and how they're letting it happen.
I love how she says old news. That's a very strange... Well, it's old news. Well, under that logic, isn't January 6th old news? I mean, they're still talking about it, but no, you know, that's old news. COVID stuff, anything dealing with COVID, well, that must be old news, right, Karine Jean-Pierre? Is this kind of, what a strange defense. Obviously, it's not old news, because we're getting the facts behind the scenes now, and there's a new CEO at Twitter. It's kind of interesting how the media originally tried to ignore this, and now they're just trying to distract from it, downplay it, because they realize they can't ignore it. And they'll say, well, it's just private organizations. The DNC is technically a private organization dealing with a private company, and so there's nothing to report on. Like, that stopped you before. The legacy media has been obsessed with Elon Musk buying Twitter because they don't like it. They hate it. They don't want the free speech. But now all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, we can't talk about that because it's a private company. It's never stopped you before. You're revealing your bias. I mean, on my show on Mondays, I do a Sunday news show's recap, and I was trying to find cuts where they were talking about the Twitter files because I thought that's a pretty big story, right? Any reasonable journalist would at least mention, acknowledge that it's a story. I couldn't find cuts from any of the Sunday talk shows about it. They talked about Trump, of course, and Trump, unfortunately, with his comments, made it easier for them to distract from Twitter because he had some pretty dumb comments on Truth Social. But they wouldn't even acknowledge the Twitter file story. They were talking about all these other things. Come on. Come on. But eventually, I think more is going to be found out, especially now with this breaking news, that they're not going to be able to ignore it. They're not going to be able to ignore it. If you want to react to this, you can. You can call in 833-687-4448, 833-68-RIGHT. We're going to take a break here on Right Side Radio. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll talk more about the Twitter files. We also got to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court case. And there's something that's going on in the economy right now that, to me anyway, is very, very troubling. So if we have time, we'll get to that as well and take your calls. You're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Here on Right Side Radio, this is Yaffe, Alabama's voice of reason and Alabama's most listened to fill in host. Filling in for Phil today, appreciate the opportunity. Many of you already know me because you listen to me in Huntsville on WVNN 9 to 11 a.m. on the Yaffe program. Got to read some here from Representative Barry Moore out of Enterprise here in Alabama. He said something was reported yesterday that, I mean, he is exactly right. He said every single drug trafficker south of the border would vote for Joe Biden for president due to his administration's border security policies. Tell me how that's wrong. I mean, he's not wrong. There is no doubt that a lot of the crisis at the border is because of not only Joe Biden's rhetoric, his statements, but his policies. It is encouraging more problems at the border. And it just, the strange thing about it is it doesn't seem like the Biden administration really cares. Now, I don't know if that's incompetence or on purpose. When I talk to some people who have been to the border, they feel like a lot of this is on purpose. It's an attempt to push amnesty. They feel like they can make the border such a mess that it will force some kind of immigration bill being shoved through Congress. And of course, that immigration bill is going to be massive amount of amnesty. Another thing that just won't work, and that will probably just make the problem worse, but maybe they'll get more Democrat voters out of it. Maybe that's the thing. But I want to go ahead and play a cut here from Joe Biden. Joe Biden is going to Phoenix, going to Arizona, and Peter Ducey of Fox News asked him a very simple question about this, and his answer, I guess, is pretty revealing. Go ahead and play the Biden cut for me, Boomer.
Because the more important thing going on, they're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
So Peter Ducey asks him, why are you going to Arizona? And how could you go to Arizona without visiting the border? It would make sense. And he says, well, because there's more important things going on. Now, I'm sure the administration will walk this back, say it's not kind of what he meant, all of that. In fact, the White House has already fired back. This according to a statement from the White House, says the president was clear that his top priority investing in the American economy and American communities, outcompeting China and bringing back American jobs from overseas. Okay. Says, in fact, as Fox News own analysts show, the economy is the top issue for most Americans. If anyone believes that he shouldn't be president's top priority too, they should say that out loud. That's his response to saying there's more important things to do than deal with the crisis at the border. They continued in their statement, said, of course the president is also taking action to secure our border and build a fair, orderly, and humane immigration system. President Biden is focused on real solutions, not political stunts. And if border security is such a top priority for Republican officials, voting against President Biden's request for record funding for the Department of Homeland Security, as Representative Roy did, is an odd way to show it. So, basically, what they're saying is if you don't vote for all of their leftist priorities that they shove into Department of Defense bills, or if you don't vote for amnesty, some kind of comprehensive immigration reform that won't really solve the problem, well, then you can't talk about how Biden is failing at the border, which he is. Now, they're saying if he visited the border, it would be a political stunt. What? Why would that be a political stunt? I mean, if in under that logic, anytime Biden visits anywhere, it could be a political stunt. When he goes to a hurricane disaster area or a tornado disaster area to visit to survey the damage, I guess that would be a political stunt. Because that's a president visiting a crisis. That's a political stunt. Now, it could be a political stunt if he actually did it. Maybe this was kind of a Freudian slip, because if Biden visited the border, it would be a political stunt because he wouldn't actually do anything to fix the problem. Now, it would not be a political stunt if he visited the border and actually, maybe, I don't know, tried to fix the problem, right? But yes, I guess maybe in a way it would be seen as a political stunt because he would go and then continue the same policies and blah, 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 and not really want to fix the problem. But the scary thing is that when Biden says that, when he says, you know, there are more important things to talk about, I think he actually believes it. Right? It seems like he really does believe, at least according to his actions, that dealing with the crisis at the border is not a top priority, is not a main priority. Any real leader would see that there is not just a problem at the border, but a crisis at the border, and it should be one of the main top priorities of any administration. Because the executive branch of our government is what is in charge, right? Is what is in charge of what goes on at the border and immigration and so forth. So it should be a top priority, but it doesn't seem like it is. He treats it as a distraction. For Biden to say what he said, I mean, I guess maybe he's kind of being honest. Now, of course, Karine Jean-Pierre had to take back a statement she said earlier this week or last week, where she said Biden has been to the border. And Peter's like, no, he has not. I have no idea what you're talking about. But it does not really seem to be a top priority when it should. And I just retweeted a story out on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Yaffe. Ashley Moody, who's the Attorney General of Florida, talked about how 25 pounds of liquid fentanyl was seized in Texas, the largest liquid fentanyl bust in U.S. history. She said, I'm glad these drugs are off the streets, but Joe Biden must take immediate steps to target and intercept fentanyl before it ever makes it across the border. It's not just an immigration problem at the border. This is a drug problem. It's a crime problem. It's a serious problem. It's something Trump saw coming. And it doesn't seem like, I mean, Biden, you heard it from himself, doesn't seem like he really thinks that's the main priority. You're listening to Right Side Radio. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll talk more about this coming up next. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Phil Williams is out today. This is Yaffe filling in We were talking a little bit about the situation at the border. Joe Biden was asked, you know, why don't you visit the border when you go to Phoenix, when you go to Arizona? You know, going to Arizona, you could go to Phoenix and then travel to the border if you wanted to actually deal with the problem there, you know, like a true leader would want to do because it is a crisis. And he said there are more important things to do. Now, they kind of backtracked a little bit on what he said, but I think he was being honest, honestly. I'll go over a little bit more of my thinking on this. I want to explain why the left really doesn't care about the border. Now, when it comes to Biden personally, though, I think for him it really is just a distraction. He would much rather just talk about these other things, and it's just kind of, you know, in the way. He wants to spend money on domestic things. We've got a caller on this. Jeff in Indiana is on with us. Jeff, go ahead. What is your take on what Biden said today? Jeff, are you there?
Give me one second. Sorry. Give me one second.
Oh, no problem. We'll get to it. Just let me know when he's ready. But I think to Joe Biden, I think it really is kind of much more of a distraction. But why does the left in general not really care about this topic? What is it about this topic that they just don't have a sense of urgency? I'll explain in a sec. I believe we have Jeff. Jeff, go ahead, my friend.
Hey, Effie.
What's up?
We don't have a crisis. We don't have a crisis at the border. We have a full-scale invasion. I mean, there's more people coming across the border now in the last year than occupy some of the smaller Western states. And what I want to know is that after these people have had their day in court, so to speak, and have been denied, entry into the United States, how are we going to get rid of them?
Yeah, that really is the issue. It seems like the Biden administration under Mayorkas, like their goal is just to process them as quickly as possible and just let them in. And it's like a lot of them show up for court. And then if they do, I mean, are we really deporting them?
No, I would have no sense to deport them whatsoever. Because Mayorkas is doing the bidding of Biden right now. Have you ever heard Biden say, "Oh, Mayorkas, you're not doing a very good job at the border. Quit doing that. Quit letting people in."
No.
You're not going to hear that.
Nope,
because it's by design.
Not. Yeah, Republicans
it's completely by design.
Yeah. Republicans have talked about impeaching Mayorkas, but you know that probably wouldn't solve it either. Because if he's doing the bidding of Biden, the next guy would just do the same thing. Jeff.
If Trump would have had people on his cabinet as good as Mayorkas is, then he would probably still have been president, because Mayorkas is you know, a good little soldier and doing what the commander-in-chief's telling him to do.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Jeff, really appreciate your call. I know I'll talk to you again in the future. So what the question is, why is the left like this? And I really do think it boils down to the fact that they inherently believe that America is, I mean, some of them believe America's evil, but it's not that they believe America's evil. It's just they believe we don't deserve the country, that the country was founded based on ill-gotten gains. Some say 1619, so it was founded on slavery or racism or something. The left actually believes this. Believes that the world would be a better place if America did not exist as it has and as it does. And when you start with the logic that America really is not that great, and that we're the bad actors in the world and have been, and how we founded this country is we've been the bad actors. When you start on that logic, why are you going to want to protect that country's borders? To them, the people that are coming into this country illegally, a lot of them, to them, they deserve it. That we should just kind of let them in because America's been bad, but we're rich. We're bad, but we're rich. And we should let all of these people from other countries in because we don't deserve it and they do. I think there are a lot of people on the left that they feel that way. They'll go back in our history and say, well, we shouldn't even have these places. We shouldn't even have Texas or California. And, you know, they're just coming. So they should just have it. Well, why should we have it and not them, kind of thinking? Now, of course, the answer, a lot of that is not true. History is much more complicated than that. And I think America has been mostly good when it comes to the world stage and mostly good when it comes to history. And I also think that these places now, if they were never part of America, would not be as good, as prosperous, as free as they are today. Places like Texas. I mean, California is kind of, it was free, but the leadership's kind of going the own way. But you know what I'm talking about. There's sort of this, they don't appreciate what has made America great. They don't appreciate our history, our founding, our principles. And when you don't appreciate those things, and I'm talking those on the left who really don't care about borders, who want amnesty, want to let in as many immigrants as possible. I mean, when you don't really appreciate America like you should, what incentive do you have to really secure a border for the country? You don't have a real incentive at that point. You know, I've said for a while on my show, if we really did want to discourage illegal immigrants from coming to this country, we just put up some billboards, some digital billboards that play video of Bernie Sanders or Ilhan Omar talking about this country, how bad it is, and so on and so forth. And the immigrants would see it and be like, oh, I don't want to go there. It must be a terrible place. They keep saying how racist it is, and I guess I wouldn't go there. That would be the way to stop them, I guess, from coming in a way. Obviously, I'm being facetious, but it kind of drives home the point. They think America would be better off if it wasn't founded the way it is. And they think, you know, we don't deserve it. They do. So we should just let them all in. Now, one thing, I mean, we are in large part a nation of immigrants. It's true. Immigration is good. We've had a lot of benefits from allowing immigrants to come in. But you can't just have an open border. You can't just open the doors, open the floodgates, and expect a civilization to survive. That can damage the culture. It can damage the criminal justice system. It can't work when we have a welfare state. And in those cities down there, we have government programs that are being overwhelmed. There are 10 billion people in the world. I don't know if it's exactly 10 billion, but should we just let them all in? Most of the billions of people in the world want to come in. We can't just let them all in, because the country wouldn't be able to survive. And America needs to survive because, as Reagan said, it is the last best hope for the world. And I really believe that the left cannot bring themselves to think that way. They cannot bring themselves to think maybe this country is worth protecting as is, and part of that is protecting its borders and also protecting its culture and also protecting its rule of law. If you don't really believe in those things and want to radically transform them, then of course you're going to be for open borders, and of course you're not going to be really incentivized to try to secure the border. I mean, it's just the way it is. We can get your reaction to that on the phones, 833-687-444, 883-368-RIGHT. You know, one thing I haven't really talked about today, is there is an election going on in Georgia. Really, it's been election month anyway, because they've had, 2 million people early vote in that state, which is amazing. They've had a record amount of people early vote after they passed Jim Crow 2.0, or as Biden called it, Jim Eagle. After that, they've had a record amount of people vote. You know, this should stop the ridiculous argument that voter suppression is a big problem in Georgia, because the proof has shown that it's not. But one of the reasons I haven't really talked about it that much is Republicans, frankly, have disappointed me when it came to the midterms. And I am not optimistic that Herschel Walker is going to win this. I want him to win it. Raphael Warnock is a radical. The media has a complete double standard. They talk about Herschel Walker's history and basically ignore some of the troubling things, not only in Herschel Walker or in Raphael Warnock's history, but is what he's doing currently as the pastor of his church, what he did to his ex-wife wasn't that long ago. The media basically ignores that, but then focuses on Herschel Walker. So they say Herschel Walker is unfit to serve. Raphael Warnock has already proven he's unfit to serve. But I don't want to hear any Democrat or any mainstream media person say Herschel Walker is unfit to serve when the guy who's in the White House right now is going to be 80 when he runs for re-election. I mean, you want to talk about unfit to serve. The guy in the White House right now proves it every single day how unfit to serve he is. It's really hard for me to buy the argument that, oh, Herschel Walker is just unfit to serve. But that being said, looking at the polls, I mean, hopefully the turnout is different. Hopefully Brian Kemp, because he's been campaigning for Walker, can really help him. But the biggest problem that Herschel Walker has is Brian Kemp is not on the ballot. I thought Herschel Walker would have a good chance because Brian Kemp won by so much and a lot of people wouldn't split ticket vote. Well, it was just enough people that didn't vote for Herschel Walker in the general midterm election there that it's going to be hard for me to believe, it's hard to buy, that they'll be able to get enough people without Brian Kemp on the ticket, because he really needed Brian Kemp to carry him over. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just being honest with you. It's been very hard for me to be optimistic, and what I'm seeing from the rest of the Republican Party, they're not optimistic either. And unfortunately, even if Herschel Walker does win, Republicans are not going to gain control of the Senate. And the lesson to be learned here is to actually stand up for true conservative principles. But I don't know if the Republican Party is really going to be able to do that in the future, especially as Mitch McConnell is still the minority leader. McConnell was good on the courts, but hasn't been good on a lot of other stuff. We're going to take a break here, talk a little bit more about that. One thing I do want to get into, there's something troubling going on in the economy right now that's not a reflection just of our economy, but it's also a reflection of our culture that really needs to be addressed, and I don't really have the answer. So we'll get to that next. You're listening to Yaffe Filling In. I'm Yaffe Filling In for Phil Williams today on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Side Radio, once again, solid, conservative, and just plain right. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams. Boomer is here producing. Boomer, I hope I've met your standards. I hope you guys will invite me back in the future to fill in again.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. Just checking. You never know. Yes. You never know.
Never know. Radio's, but it's a strange absolutely thing.
Radio's a strange thing. You don't have an audience like that you see.
Right.
You know? So you have to, like, pretend that there's, like, someone out there.
I'm just looking at all these computer screens in front of me and just thinking, oh, man, that's just so many people.
So, yeah, when you do radio, do you imagine – see, instead of, like, imagining a crowd, I kind of think more of the one person who's listening either on their headphones or in the car and talking – having that conversation with that one person.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than a crowd. Are you somebody who does that, or are you more like there's a big crowd here?
Oh, well, honestly, I come from the touring world, so I've seen,
okay,
you know, that's what I've seen is crowds. And so I've seen it from the place of entertainers doing music up on stage to even some that are even speaking. So that's what I vision when I'm looking at it, because that's what I know. So
yeah.
That's how I like it. But maybe it is. Maybe it'd be better for me to be like, oh, I'm talking to one person. That'd probably be yeah, better for me to think of.
Yeah, very good. I mean, I have a friend who does that, what you used to do as well. And it's cool stuff. Nashville is a great place to do that.
It is.
For
it
you,
is.
For sure. So I wanted to talk, before we go, wanted to talk here about something from the Wall Street Journal. It says here, it's from their editorial page, says, where did young male workers go? Said employers keep hiring, but too many people are staying on the job market sidelines. This to me is a troubling sign, not just of, you know, our economy, bad economic sign, but of our culture. As a young man, I want to work. I can't imagine my life without working, without a job.
Yeah.
And yet there's, I mean, Boomer, you must be the same way.
Oh, I'm absolutely the same way. I have to be doing something. I have to be working, doing something. And I can't imagine not.
I mean, I can vacation with the best of them. But, I mean, to have human dignity, I know. But it says here in the Wall Street Journal, the Labor Department's November jobs report on Friday certainly didn't make the Federal Reserve's anti-inflation task any easier. Strong job and wage growth suggest demand for workers still exceeds the supply and inflation is still too high. And we all know this. We anywhere you shop, you know, they don't have enough workers.
Yes.
What came to your head when I said that? Anything come to your head?
Well, right now, just specifically because I just experienced it, was going through the drive-thru just to get something to eat and how long it took. And then the lady coming to the window and saying, sorry, it's going to take like 20 minutes. I'm the only one here.
What, that happened? She said I was the only one there?
She was the only one there.
Oh, wow. That is rough.
Yes.
That is rough. I've worked fast food before. That was my first job at Checkers. And, you know, there are times when I look at these fast food restaurants and I see they have employees and it takes forever. And I'm like, what are you doing in there? Like, what is taking? It should not take this long. I used to do this job. Right. But yeah, if you're the only person in there, yeah, it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Wow. It says here, employers added 263,000 jobs last month, though gains were revised down by 23,000 during the previous two. Private payrolls increased by 221,000. Says the problem is here that they still can't find enough workers. The civilian labor force on the household survey shrank by 186,000 last month, while the participation rate ticked down 0.1 percentage point to 62.1%. As a result, the unemployment rate stayed flat. Labor force participation remained significantly down from 63.4% before the pandemic. By the way, it was already going down before the pandemic, since like the year 2000. But what they're finding here is it's not merely a result of more baby boomers retiring. Labor force participation among males ages 25 to 54 has slid to 88.4% from 89.3% before the pandemic. Says, don't blame long COVID. The decline is most pronounced among young men. Labor participation among males aged 20 to 24 has fallen 1.7 percentage points since January 2020 versus 0.5 for those ages 45 to 54.
Wow.
It says, one culprit may be generous COVID transfer payments. A recent Federal Reserve report estimated that U.S. households as of mid-2022 were sitting on $1.7 trillion in excess savings. Now, they go into here and says, look, this has to do with economic monetary policy. You know, if you have more welfare payments, less people are going to want to work. And that's obviously true. But it bothers me that where we're seeing the dips in labor force participation, even when you have such a strong job market like we do now, is men, is young men leaving the workforce. We hear that, oh, the reason why they can't find enough workers is women can't find babysitters or can't afford childcare. But what we're seeing here is not that. We're seeing young men who are just leaving the workforce. What are they doing?
That's what I was about to say. What are they doing?
Well, there was another report that came out that suggested that a lot of them, guess what they're doing?
Are they
playing? Take a guess.
Video games.
Yep.
Oh,
you're
no way.
Exactly.
Is that
right?
Is that it?
Oh, yeah, that's
man.
Part of it.
That's
they
crazy.
Find out that they're in front of screens.
Wow.
I can't imagine living my life just in front of a screen.
No.
All the time. Well, I kind of do that with this job, but I mean, just playing video games. So they have to be, a lot of them probably living with their parents or they're taking some kind of welfare payment. And it's just like,
yeah,
there's something deep in our culture where men feel like this is what they need to do with their lives.
Man.
Which is such a problem.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
All right, I hear the music. I guess that means time is up. Boomer, I really appreciate it. It's good to talk to you. Good to have you on the
Yaffe,
show.
Yaffe, thank you so much, sir.
All right. This has been Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Appreciate the opportunity. Check me tomorrow morning on WVNN.
Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right.